Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
All right, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Patron Spotlight, where we interview Saints Happy Hour patrons who donate $5 a month. And we get to know them. They get to hang out with us. They talk about their Saints fandom, their show fandom, all kinds of fun stuff. And this episode, I've been super excited about. The guy has been very accommodating. I've had major internet issues. My modem broke. I had to move it, and he rescheduled. We had to reschedule much time, but we're with him. He's Monadulo. He is in the Netherlands. We are doing another international edition of the Patron Spotlight. Monadula, how are you doing today on this lovely Friday?
I'm doing fine. It's a bit less lovely the weather here, but it's May, so it should be good.
How is the weather in the Netherlands in May? My wife went in the summer like 4 years ago, 5 years ago, and she mm-hmm. said it was magical and wanted to live there permanently.
Yeah, it used to be magical, but now this year it was very warm in February. We had some heat records, and then now we have some low heat records. So it's totally gray. I'm looking out now, starting to get dark soon. So
you're a Saint. How do you become a Saints? I'm always curious with international people how they become Saints fans. What made you attracted to American football in Europe? And second of all, why did you say, of all the teams, I'm going to pick the one in probably the smallest market of all 32 teams? Green Bay is smaller, but how did you become an NFL fan and then a Saints fan? Because that seems very strange in the Netherlands to get to that point.
Well, we used to have the NFL Europe. I didn't have a car back then, so I didn't go to any.
Oh, the Amsterdam Admirals, right.
Yeah, Amsterdam Admirals, but I actually was living closer to Köln, Köln Rheinfire, I think, or Düsseldorf Rheinfire. They had like a couple of teams nearby, but I didn't have a car, no driver's license yet, so I didn't go. But I was interested, and that's why they were also airing the Super Bowl in the, on national TV. And I didn't have anything to do the day after. I had a day off from school or whatever. So I watched the Super Bowl and was like super excited because the game is awesome. And that was the year 2000, I think. And from that moment on, I never missed the Super Bowl. I always took a day off or I never had anything at all. So and I still stick by that, even though I didn't watch the last Super Bowl, but that doesn't count anyway. So
yeah, it never happened. But, I don't know what you're speaking.
So then the streaming services came into play, and we could download them, not really legally, but since then I've been a paying customer, though the service at sometimes is really crappy. But so I think I've made up for that. And I started watching 2009 week two. And first game I downloaded was Saints game, and Drew Brees threw for like four touchdowns and like.
Oh, they roped you in. They roped you in right off the bat.
Yeah. I joined the year that it was, the awesome year. So, I had a couple of teams I was like I liked at that moment because they were winning. Jets were winning, and the game against the Saints they lost. Broncos were winning, but I was like, no man, Saints is my first love. And I'm so glad that I chose the Saints because New Orleans is a great city. I went there last year, and it was awesome.
So what did you come in for a game, or did you just go to New Orleans just to go?
Well, we had me and my girlfriend. I should say my wife, but she's not my wife yet, but she's from Kazakhstan, so that's a nice link. Exactly. well, we went for a trip for three weeks, went around the Northeast, and then stayed in New York for a week, and then came to New Orleans for a week. And we were there at the Redskins game when Breeze broke the record. So it was a good game to join there.
That's a good choice. So how is the time difference in the Netherlands is what, 7 hours difference?
With New Orleans, yeah, 7 hours.
So it's 8 o'clock there. So watching the games, do you watch all the games? Do you watch them all live, including the nighttime games? When they play on, like, when they play on Monday to open the game, it'll start at like 1 o'clock, 1 a.m. your time. Will you watch all games live, or do some of them you watch live, some not?
Saints games I watch live. There used to be times that I watched more games live. Well, every Sunday night they start at 7 my time. So Sunday games I watch both. Two games, whatever is best game that's on, and then if the Saints play at midnight, like that's 2:30 my time, I will watch that as well. And depending if I can go to bed early, like on Sunday, I can't go to bed early. But my system is on the Monday night game, I come home from work, I go to bed immediately, and then I get up at 1:45, and I take a shower. I'm fresh. I start up the feed, and I watch the game live. And then it's done. And an hour later, I leave for work.
that is dedication. So at least when they play Monday night, the opening week, at least it's like an hour early. It's like about an hour and a half earlier than the normal Monday night game because they have the doubleheader, right? So at least you get a little bit of a break, right?
I think if it would be an hour later, it would be better for me because then an hour more.
Oh, you're saying you wish you played the second game of the doubleheader and they started at 9:30 because that would be like 4:30 your time. You could just get yourself up really, really early and start your day super early. Yeah. Yeah.
And then I could go directly after it's done. I could go to work. Yeah. But now I have a broken night, so I sleep, then I watch again, then I sleep a bit more. And then that's, 2 days later, I pay for it. So
that's crazy. I did that with what was the year they had the World Cup in Korea? And they would start the games at like this, the United States would play at like, they would kick off at like 2 a.m. But I want to bring up something we were talking about before we started recording. Mm-hmm. I was mentioning to you, you know, we'll talk about the Saints and we'll talk about this. And I was going to mention about Ajax. They're the big team in the Netherlands, the big football club in Europe. And they were in the Champions League semifinal and they collapsed and lost. And I was going to ask you how you felt about that. And you said to me, I don't watch soccer anymore since the Netherlands got screwed in a World Cup. So,
well,
that's pretty much the dedication, because a lot of people say, I'm done with the sport, and they don't mean it. You really meant it with football, like football, the European version anyway.
Yes, I call it soccer just to make it easier, because football is my life. American football is my life, so I don't call I call it soccer and football. But it wasn't as much as that the Dutch got screwed, but the whole refereeing system, it was completely flawed. There were like 12 yellow cards and like 6 red cards or something in that game when they in 2010 I just started watching American football and I was like, yeah, this shit never happens in American football. There's like 7 referees on the field. They see stuff and when something idiotic like this happens, a referee cannot influence a game like that. And then the NFC Championship happened, so I was like, it can happen. And I was like really, really so should I not ever watch American football again? But I've chosen this again.
I had a similar experience, not because of refereeing, but when I was younger, I was a huge hockey fan. I was a huge New York Ranger fan. And when I was a young kid, Rangers were my team. They were on ESPN. I watched them all the time. My dad had a radio set up where I could get the radio signal out of New York, and I would listen to hockey on the radio. And if anybody has ever listened to hockey on the radio, you know hockey on the radio is terrible. But I was a young kid, so I liked it. And then, Manadula, the hockey league, it went on strike, and they just canceled a season of it. And the Rangers had won the cup the year before. And when I didn't have hockey in my life for a year, I just like went about it. And when it came back, I didn't care. And I've never really watched an entire hockey game since 1994. And I don't even miss
how
it.
How old were you then?
What's that? I was in 94. I'd have been 18. And the Rangers won the cup in 94. And I think NHL, they stopped. They didn't have a season in 95.
But that's when you're still young, so you have like changing interests. I'm 40. I stuck to football. I'm doing football. I know everything about it. And that's one of the nice things here in the Netherlands. So few people do know it that I'm an expert on it here. And I like to be like special and be an expert. My girlfriend's cracking up now, but
How is it? Because now, obviously you've been a football fan for a while, a while now. When you first started, the internet makes everything easy now. Like if you want to learn about, if you and me decided, hey, let's start caring about cricket, we could dive onto you could Google cricket and learn the rules and watch videos and explain everything and everything and get up to speed really easily. But like 10, 12, whatever years ago even, or even 6 or 7, like it wasn't as easy as it now. How did you teach yourself the ins and out of American football? Because football is a freaking complicated sport. Like, you can't just be like, watch it and catch on to it in a couple of minutes. Like, I can think of like 5 or 6 other sports that a person could know nothing about it, and you could kind of explain it to them really easily in about 5 minutes, and they could get into watching a game. I don't know that I could do that with American football.
No, I try to explain it to people who come and watch it. A friend of mine, he's watched regularly with me, not the night games, but if it's like on a Sunday evening at our time, then and he'd come and watch it, and he'd like it. The game is really complicated, but there were during the Super Bowl, you have all these commercials, but we didn't. So we have, if you take a 3-hour game, you have like 2 hours of footage, but there's 1 hour of commercials. And during those commercial breaks, the commentators in Dutch Super Bowl, they would explain the rules and go over the stuff. So that's how I got to know it. And then a year later, when I watched it for the second time, I was like, oh, what's the rules again? And then I kind of caught up on it. And I have to say that the most stuff that I learned, it's because of Andrew. I call myself a Jujin. I don't know if you know. I always ask myself WWJD, what would you do? And because the thing is, I listen to your podcast and I've read all those columns. And yeah, maybe missed a few, but I read them all, commented on them, and he really appreciated that I did that. And he taught me how football works, and he taught me how to think. And when you're discussing something, I think the same way as he's thinking. And sometimes I'm like, come on, Andrew, you know this.
I think the one thing with Andrew, he knows the exact time when he came on this podcast. I think it's like 2010, 2011. What I've noticed is having him on the podcast with us. He started out, he would be a guest like once a month, and then he became every week, and now me and him do it every day. The one thing I've noticed over the almost decade that he's been on the podcast consistently, I've poisoned his mind. Because when he first started, he was football guy, he was film session, he knew it all, and he still knows it all. Mm-hmm. But now he's just like me, and all he cares about is the jokes. And I feel like I've corrupted Andrew in that way, that he still can be the best explainer of Saints film that there is. I don't care who it is. They have a lot of people that do it well. But Andrew, when he wants to do it and has the time, watching a Saints game and explaining it in a way that people that don't necessarily understand X's and O's, Andrew can explain it in a way that's great, and he's really, really good at that. But I've poisoned his mind, and all he cares about is jokes now.
I think jokes are easy. You know, he talked about when he was in France and he was watching these games four times a week, and then he got a new tape from his grandfather. He used to watch the game and then go over it and grade every player. He would have grades of every player that played a fair amount of time on his website, and I read them all, and that's how I got to know stuff, and it was very insightful. But now he's not doing that. He's just
watching
the game.
That's how I got connected to Andrew. I read he would let Canal Street Chronicles share his grades, and I would read his grades. And then I got connected, you know, and then I was like, oh, that's the Saints Nation blog, and go to it. And I just like the way that he did the grades in a way that was normal people language, because I feel like a lot of the tape watching people, they get enamored with the football terms and the terminology, and you're reading and you're like, what am I reading? I'm reading about a 4-3 under with the nickel and this and that, and it's like, tell it to me like a normal human being would explain it to me. And that's what Andrew did. But so you gave up soccer and you never went back. And you went to the Saints Washington game. Are you planning to go to any, are you going to try to make any games this year or in the future?
Not this year, but in the future, definitely. First game I watched, it was the London game in 2017. London, they were playing the Dolphins. And there was a you know, I found out that I share a birthday with Thomas Morstad, and I followed him on Twitter, and he's just one of the best human beings, way better than I could ever be. And it's a true inspiration for anybody, actually. But so he was there on the podium with like seven other Saints, and I was standing next to a woman, and she was like going, "Ooh, Thomas," and I was like, "Oh, what, Thomas, like not Breeze or whatever?" No, Thomas, he's my nephew. And it turns out, and I didn't know that Thomas Morstad has a lot of family in the UK. So I hung around with those people after the presentation, maybe like he would come out, and he came out. And he was was immediately with his kid on his arm, and they were happy to see him, his family. So I was like, I won't bother him. So he tweeted that out to Andrew, actually, and I tagged Thomas Morstad, and he replied to me and said, next time say hi. So I was like, God damn, I should have done that.
Next
and then,
time.
You know what? After the game, I'll look. Maybe he'll come out of the locker room, but they didn't. And they say, yeah, you have to go there. So I was walking along, and suddenly I saw some people with number 6 on the back. So I was like, okay, these are his family. So followed them, and I came at the friends and family area, and they were like, where's your wristband? Well, I don't have one. Yeah, then you can't come in. So, but it was like a low fence, so I could just stay outside. I was like, okay, when Thomas comes out, they will I will ask them, like, can I talk to him a bit or something. His father recognized me. He comes up to me and shakes my hand. And in his hand, there's a wristband. So I got to join them backstage in friends and family area, and walked around all the Saints players. And if you can imagine, like Andrew, he was in Greenbrier with all those players. But for me to have the opportunity to be really close to them, talk to them, I think that... Sean Orleans, he will slap me for this, but I shake the Andrew, what's his name, Peterson, his hand, like, because I heard he had a really, really hard
strong grip.
Yeah. So that day was amazing for me, man. It was
so,
really,
you know,
best day ever.
The interesting thing about Morstad was we did a fun Daily Saints podcast, and by the way, this episode's free. You should listen, and you should subscribe and become a member. $7 a month, you get a Saints podcast every day. But me and Andrew did a daily podcast on what would it take for the Saints to trade Thomas Morstad. Would you trade Thomas Morstad for a first round pick? And the overwhelming majority of people on Facebook and in the poll and on the comments, we're like, you cannot trade Thomas Morstad. We don't care if you give the Saints a first round pick, two first round picks. We don't care. He's like family. We love him. And for it to be that way over a punter,
Exactly.
He's just so fantastic that New Orleans has embraced this guy, this punter, and he's embraced New Orleans right back, and they love mm-hmm. him. And people, and I agree. I'm like, I don't want to trade Thomas Morstead. I want Thomas Morstead to play till he's 45, and I want to see his last day in the Superdome, and I want it to be a great celebration. I don't want him playing for two or three other teams, and they don't love mm-hmm. him like we love him. You know?
Are there any punters in the Hall of Fame?
There is Ray Guy is in the Hall of Fame, and it took him years and years and years mm-hmm. to finally get in.
If Morstead plays 20 plus years and has won a Super Bowl and was
hard. You know, the thing is with kickers and punters, they just don't let them in. Like, and it's unfair because.
True.
They're players just like everybody else, and to me,
1 in 50 guys should be a kicker or a punter. Yeah,
and it took Morton Anderson. I think Morton Anderson, the famous Saints kicker. I think it took him about a decade because he was still kicking in 06. So and he retired in 08. So it took him almost a decade. Yeah. Because he got in a couple years ago. So it took him almost a decade to get in. But that's, Manadula, that's just kickers, man. They have a bias against them. So as you look, another question I want to ask you is, because you're a Saints fan and you come to it from a foreign perspective, how do you process all the rivalries and hatreds and things that American fans, we sort of know automatically, ever a football fan, you know, we know, oh, the Saints hate Atlanta and Dallas hates the Redskins and the Packers hate the Packers hate the Bears. Where do you go to sort of learn all that?
Well, the rivalries between other teams, I don't know, but Andrew taught me well. and it was so easy to hate Roddy White. It was like, oh man, that guy was so easy to. He blocked me on Twitter, and that was really great.
Congratulations,
Jeff Duncan did as well. And then somebody tweeted Jeff Duncan. Jeff Duncan was like, oh, okay, in the spirit of whatever, I'll unblock. I was like, no, I nearly had to try Facta. I had Goodell to block me yet, and then I would have been complete. But also, you know, Panthers, I was a Shockey fan at the beginning. I was like, Shockey was awesome. He was like this big dude. He was going and hitting people and making touchdowns. And it was the first jersey that I owned.
It's a good choice for a first jersey. Shockey was fun.
Yeah, in 2009 especially. And so he went to the Panthers. And I was like, okay with that. It was a rivalry, but I didn't mind the Panthers that much. But now Newton makes it so easy to hate the Panthers. I can't imagine ever hating Roddy White the same amount as I hate Cam Newton. So Buccaneers, as long as they're down there and never really winning anything, I'm okay with the Buccaneers as well.
I feel the same way about the Buccaneers, and even though they beat the Saints in the opening game last year, I feel the same way about the Buccaneers that I feel about the Browns. Like, they just, I don't have any emotional attachment to them or hatred for them.
Even though they won with John Gruden,
it's a long time ago, I just don't. Maybe it's because they never win, Manadula. I don't know. I just don't even view them, not even as a rival, like.
I think the Browns are actually nice because now they have like a team and it's growing and maybe there's something. And because they were like really, really, really bad, that it's now nice to see them doing something. And they're also not in our conference even. So who the hell cares about the Browns? I'd like to see them win. I'd like to see them in the Super Bowl. But the Buccaneers, as long as they keep losing, I'm okay with them.
Yeah.
And when they start becoming a rival, then I'm like, they should go a bit low.
As long as you say terrible, Tampa, we'll ignore you.
Exactly. We'll condone you.
So, final question. And this is, what are your expectations for the 2019 Saints, realistically?
The thing is, I was really like depressed Saints-wise. 1.5 hours to 2 hours a day, I would be on checking Twitter, conversations, listening to podcasts, and then I moved. I moved three months ago here in this new apartment, and so that coincided with the Saints not going to the Super Bowl, and I was, yeah, I did, I like cut Twitter out of my life at that point, and now I'm slowly coming back in. The draft was nice. Oh, my girlfriend's applauding now. But
Twitter is a poison, horrible drug, well, and I am addicted, and I wish I could not be on Twitter.
Well, I don't have that many followers, so so people don't write me that much. But so I was kind of like, this was it. I'm not even sure they probably make the postseason, but won't be as a, they won't have a first round bye. I was thinking like 11-5, 10-6, because the team is still great, but my heart. It's not like I want them to win, and because even if they win, even if they make the NFC Championship, you know, there's like this, you know, we were there last time. That was the time we should have won. The only thing that the Patriots did to win was to change the defense, so Goff was horrible, and they couldn't score themselves, and they scored one touchdown, and then they won. If the Saints would have been in the Super Bowl, they would have obliterated the
Patriots.
I feel
like if the Saints would have been in the Super Bowl, Kamara would have been MVP because he's from Atlanta, and that just would have poured gasoline and salt and made Falcon fans feel even worse that the Saints won the Super Bowl in their stadium and a guy from Atlanta was MVP. I believe that in my heart. No one will ever convince me otherwise.
If the Saints win it this year, it's not even in Atlanta, so they took that away from us as well. And this is it's probably the last year that the Saints will be really competitive, depending on what Bridgewater does next year. But yeah. I don't know if their heart is in it as much, because they must have gone through worse than we did. But as soon as it starts up, I think they will play for it. But they'll know that it's ending, and so their heart won't be as much in it as it is now. And it will be really hard to get through the playoffs, not having the first round bye.
I think I view it. I think you're right in that this will be the last year that this team will be together. But I disagree with you on the thing of you don't think their heart's going to be in it, and that could be the problem. I actually think it's the opposite. I think this group, they know that this is going to be it. Like, after this year, Breeze may retire. Michael Thomas has got to get paid. Other dudes are going to want to get paid. I view this, they might put extra pressure on themselves as like, this is our last shot. Like, after this, this group is
going to
be broken up. And my God, we really better win it. This is year three of this. If we don't win it now, it's broken up. It's over. Oh my God. And the pressure might even be more intense, which could be a bad thing. But we'll see. I Manadula, I think once July gets here and we start going to camp, I think we'll fire ourselves up and we'll get super excited. And the call, we'll never get over the bad call and getting screwed. Mm-hmm. But I think we'll start, instead of looking back, once July gets here, we're going to start looking forward. So,
yeah, I've been since the draft is here and has been here. I'm getting a bit more interested and more hyped, and also fantasy football. I'm getting into it. I've got first round draft pick and a first overall pick in the dynasty league. So I've been really like trying to figure out who I should draft first. But I've got like five picks in the first five rounds. I'm very good at trading picks. Trading down, I think. I should be maybe on the Saints to get more picks.
Be the successor to Mickey Loomis. You'll just trade all future assets for gratification now. But Manadula, thanks for joining us, guy. I appreciate it. And everybody who's listening to this, you can be on the Patreon Spotlight too. Just sign up and be a patron supporter. I can't officially offer this as a perk on Patreon because It's a raffle, but we're still going to pick one every month. So if you sign up and you become a Patreon, a patron for us, you can do this. We do it every month, and we do a bunch of them at a time, and it's great. It's fun. We do international. So thanks to Monadula for joining us, and thanks to everybody for listening. And until next time, the bar is closed.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.